Our scripture reading this evening is found in Psalm 119. We'll begin reading at verse 49 and read through 64. Our text is that 57th verse, but really that verse summarizes the whole section, and we'll be referring to that whole 8th section. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider is that 57th verse. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, how important for us in our pilgrimage through this valley of tears that we have a proper perspective. Imagine a 5-year-old from the congregation not knowing where he or she was and being in downtown Chicago. That would be an extremely frightening situation. Unless they saw their parents close by. Unless they knew that they were accompanied by their parents holding their hands. The same situation, not knowing where one is, but having a completely different perspective can change our outlook. So it is in our pilgrimage, beloved, in this valley of tears, how important for us to have a proper perspective. Do we look at everything on a horizontal level, only looking at our circumstances? Or do we see things on a vertical plane? Do we see things in relationship to God? and in relation to the truth that He is our portion. That's what the psalmist did. He saw his life, his pilgrimage, in relation to that glorious truth, Jehovah is my portion. That's evident throughout the whole psalm. We'll see it in the section that we treat. But throughout the whole psalm, the psalmist expresses his prayer to God. Sometimes we have the idea of Psalm 119 that it deals with the law of God and is something like a long lecture dealing with the law of God and uses different words for the law of God. But we ought to approach the psalm as a lot more personal than that. It's not just a lecture. It is the prayer, the personal prayer of the psalmist that we get to listen in on. The prayer of the psalmist as he expresses his love for God and his love for God's law. And the prayer of the psalmist as he makes his pilgrimage. He expresses at the beginning, he wants to purify his way, and he expresses at the end his neediness as well. We'll touch on that. But in the midst of that pilgrimage, he makes that beautiful confession, Thou art my portion, O Lord. And by implication, he calls us to make that same confession in our pilgrimage. So let's consider the text under that theme, Jehovah, my portion. Let's note in the first place the meaning of that. Secondly, the commitment that flows out of that knowledge that Jehovah is his portion. And lastly, the prayer that also flows out of Jehovah being his portion. The starting point of our earthly pilgrimage, at least in our minds, ought to be that glorious truth that Jehovah is our portion. That's the main thought in this eighth section of the psalm. In the Hebrew, the very first word that he utters in this section is the word portion. Literally, he says, portion, mine, Jehovah. That's the main thought, and that then governs the whole rest of the section. Everything else ties in with that thought. Everything flows out of the fact that Jehovah is his portion. And a portion is that which is allotted to us by God. God apportions to us an inheritance. To the Israelite, a portion was the most precious possession that they had. If you had to take away everything else that the Israelite had, his portion is that which he would want to hang on to. His inheritance was of utmost importance. What is your portion, beloved? And what is my portion? What is it that is above all things most precious? What do you think of first in the morning? What is it that your thought goes back to again and again throughout the day and throughout the week? and throughout your lives, and I ask myself the same thing. The psalmist saw that his greatest possession, that which was his chiefest delight, was Jehovah. The wicked have their possessions. The wicked set up their idols. Their portion is not Jehovah. The wicked pursuing all the idols of this world, pursuing riches, pursuing fame, pursuing pleasure, setting up all those idols to which they look for to obtain happiness. Jehovah is not their portion. When you bring Jehovah to the wicked and speak to them of Jehovah, they want nothing to do with Jehovah. They want nothing to do with His law. That law binds them. And they want to be free to pursue their own pleasures, being in ownership of their own lives. But by God's grace, as He has worked that grace in our hearts, we make the same confession that the psalmist makes. Jehovah is our portion. He is our portion because He has sent His only begotten Son into the world to give that perfect sacrifice, to make Himself, by that redemption, to make Himself our portion and to make us His people. That's why the psalmist expresses words of praise to God. At the end of this section of the psalm, he says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes." Mercy is God's delight in us, His love towards us, according to which He sets Himself to deliver us from our deepest woe and give to us the greatest good. And the greatest good that He gave to the psalmist and that He gives to us is Himself. God makes Himself our portion. He gives Himself to us. The Lord, the great I Am, the God who does not need us creatures of the dust, that He would even take any creatures into fellowship with Himself is an amazing thing. But then add to that the fact that we and Adam were rebels against Him, and He would still take us into fellowship, make us His friends. That's what the psalmist declares when he expresses that glorious truth. When he speaks to God, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." It's true, we are still plagued by the old man of sin. The psalmist understood that about himself. He understood that he wandered from Him. He understood that he must purify his way and he could not do it in his own strength. And though he was plagued by sins and sinfulness, yet he made that confession, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. Because he understood, although he was tempted by all the things of the world to seek after the pleasures and treasures, yet God had put something in his heart so that he would say, no, Jehovah is above all things most precious to me. And now that is going to color every square inch of our lives. When that is true of us, that Jehovah is our portion, it's not as if we can just come to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week makes no difference whatsoever that Jehovah is our portion. But the fact that Jehovah is our portion will infuse the whole of our lives. And the psalmist expresses that. He understands that God has made him to be of God's party. God has brought us into fellowship with himself. We are of his party. That's going to affect our lives. And the psalmist expresses that in this section when he says in verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. The fact that Jehovah has made us his companions means that we want to be companions of others who are also companions of Jehovah. A companion is someone that is closely bound together, someone who has the same interests, who has the same faith that God has given to us. We are united. We want to be with all those who fear the same God that we fear. All those who hold that reverence towards Jehovah. We want to be companions of them. And that's what we express in public worship. We gather. That's why we gather together in fellowship. We don't just worship reading or watching online if we're able to be here. We want to be with God's people. We want to be companions of all those who fear Jehovah. How precious is that unity that God gives in the congregation? How precious it is when you see that companionship also in our marriages. Husbands and wives believing the same thing, holding the same Jehovah in great esteem. What a wonderful thing that in all of our relationships we manifest that Jehovah is our portion. That flows out of the fact that Jehovah is our portion is going to affect who we have as our companions, but it also will affect who are not our companions. Those who have a hatred of Jehovah, those who want nothing to do with Jehovah's laws, we don't want them as our companions. The psalmist does not see them as companions. What does he say in verse 61? The bands of the wicked have robbed me. And we'll speak of that more in a moment. But they were against him. Later in the psalm, the psalmist declares about those wicked. Verse 115, he says, depart from me, ye evildoers. For I will keep the commandments of my God. That's the antithesis. When God makes Himself to be our portion, we want to be with God's people, and we want to avoid that companionship with the wicked. We don't want to be with them because they hate the God that we love. Does that manifest itself, beloved, in your life and my life, that Jehovah is our portion? Does it manifest itself in who we want as our friends, who we want to fellowship with? Does it manifest itself in who we invite into our living rooms when we turn on the television or when we turn on the radio in the car? Does that reflect the fact that Jehovah is my portion? When Jehovah is our portion, it will color every square inch of our lives. That shows itself in the psalmist. It shows itself by his commitment that Jehovah was his portion, flows into the commitment that he expresses in the same breath. So he says in verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." When he says, "I have said," he's not just relating something that he happens to have said in the past, but the idea is this: I have promised. I have promised that I would keep thy words. That is my commitment, he expresses in his prayer to Jehovah. And children, you know what it means to keep. Right? To keep, when a shepherd keeps his sheep, he pays careful attention to those sheep. And he cares for them. When the psalmist says, "I have said that I would keep thy words," he is saying, "I have committed myself to pay special attention, to pay careful attention to those words, to meditate upon them, to study them, to learn from them." What are those words of Jehovah? Everything that God has said in Scripture. The whole Word of God. And what is the central message of the Word of God? It's the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. The psalmist is saying, "I have said that I will meditate upon that word that reveals Jesus Christ." From the very beginning of Scripture all the way to the end of Scripture, the psalmist wants to meditate upon those words, so that he says in the same psalm, he says, "Oh, how sweet! How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Verse 103. The word of the gospel. He wants to meditate upon that word. The word that expresses God's love towards us, His people. That in the first place. He has committed himself to meditate, to keep the word of God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, God's love to us. But then in the second place, notice that he uses the plural, not just thy word, but thy words. And that includes also then those words that show how we are to express our love to God. He's talked about God's love to us, but how do we express our love to God? How do we show our thankfulness to God? And that's by keeping God's law. That's why he brings up God's law so often throughout the psalm. Over and over, he expresses his delight in God's law. It would be an interesting exercise to read through the psalm. How many times and in how many different ways does the psalmist express his delight, his love, his rejoicing in God's law? That's the way that he wants to express his love to God. It wasn't a burden to him. He doesn't say in the psalm, nor does he say it in this section, "Oh, what a burden is thy law to me." Not at all. Verse 77, for example, he says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight." When Jehovah is our portion, we will be committed to meditate upon the words of the gospel and the words of God's law, whereby we may express our thankfulness to him for all that he has done for us. And when you have that commitment, that will show itself also in a life of repentance. If we want to keep God's law, we want to show our love to God, and then we see that we have failed to love our God, if we truly love our God, we will also repent when we have strayed from that law. And that's what the psalmist says. In verse 59, he says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Knowing that Jehovah was his portion in love for God, the psalmist thinks upon his ways. And he sees that he has strayed from God's law. He sees that he has not loved God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength. He has not loved his neighbor as himself. So as he has turned, as he thinks on his ways, he says, "And turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Turning out of the way of disobedience and into the way of obedience, because he loves God. He doesn't want to offend God. He wants to live a life that pleases God and shows forth his thankfulness. Why would you and I ever want to do that, beloved? Why would you and I ever want to leave the way of selfish disobedience, self-serving and pride? Why would we want to leave that way unless God had worked a work in our hearts? By nature, we never would want to leave the way of selfishness and pride. We never would want to repent of sin. We always would want to serve ourselves. Only because Jehovah has made himself our portion. That's why we want to repent of our sins. That's why we want to walk in God's ways. Indeed, the more we rejoice in Jehovah being our portion, the sooner we will want to obey Him. The more we delight in Jehovah, the less we will hesitate to obey Him. That's the case in our families too, is it not? Children, if you love your parents, your mom or dad ask you to do something, if you wait and wait and wait and wait and don't do what they ask you to do, that expresses something, doesn't it? It expresses a lack of love. When we love Jehovah, we don't want to hesitate in our obedience. What does the psalmist say, verse 60 in this section? He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He lived a life of repentance. He didn't want to delay in his obedience, and when the wicked came to him and tempted him, because Jehovah was his portion, he remained steadfast. That's verse 61. He says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. And the idea there is not that the bands of wicked came and sought to steal his money, but rather the bands of the wicked encircled him and sought to destroy his faith. They wanted to take away his faith. They wanted him to reject Jehovah. But by God's grace, he remained steadfast. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. They attacked me in that way. But I have not forgotten thy law. I wanted to keep expressing my love to God. That's the idea of the psalmist. Does that show itself, beloved, in your lives, in my life, that Jehovah is our portion? Does it show itself in our commitment to keep God's words and living lives of repentance and steadfastness? When Jehovah is our portion, it will also be evident to us that we cannot make this pilgrimage in our own strength. The psalmist has no illusion that he is going to make his pilgrimage all by himself. Not at all. Seeing his weakness, and when we see our weaknesses, we will be those who pray. Knowing that Jehovah is our portion will lead us to be those who pray to Him. And there are four things. Four things. We probably could find more elements as well, but I draw these four out. That acronym ACTS, ACTS. Four elements of prayer that we see in the psalmist that flow out of the truth that Jehovah is his portion. In the first place, he expresses adoration. When Jehovah is his portion, he wants to adore and give praise to that same Jehovah. He does that throughout the psalm. Verse 7, he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord. He does that throughout the psalm, over and over. In his prayer, he expresses adoration. All that flows out of the truth of his relationship to Jehovah. Then in the second place, not only adoration in a multitude of different ways, but also confession. The psalmist, seeing his sins and his sinfulness and seeing his weakness, knows that on this pilgrimage, he is a needy sinner. And so he confesses. In this particular section, he does not do so outrightly, but he does so implicitly in that verse that we looked at before, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He's acknowledging that he was wandering. But we find throughout the psalm that he expresses his neediness. That's implied by the many requests that he makes. We'll get to that in a moment. But he expresses it, for example, in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I need to cleanse my way. How am I going to cleanse my way? He's needy. Or the very end of the psalm, the very last verse, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He expresses his neediness. How good for us to confess our need of God's mercy and grace in our pilgrimage. Adoration, confession in our prayers, and then thirdly, thanksgiving. The psalmist who sees that Jehovah has made himself to be our portion wants to express his thankfulness. And so we find in this section, verse 62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He knows that God's righteous judgments, God's acts of governing, his righteous acts, not only are judgments upon the wicked, but God's righteous acts of governing are the way that He saves His people. And so He is giving thanks for God's works of salvation. He rises at midnight. Maybe those thoughts are swirling around in his head and he cannot get those wonderful thoughts out of his head. He doesn't want to. Rather, he rises and he gives thanks. No distractions. No one else to see him. He's not praying before a crowd in order to draw attention to himself. He rises at midnight and gives thanks to God. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and lastly, supplication. Over and over, the psalmist makes supplication to God. He asks God for help. He asks God for grace and mercy. He asks God to quicken him. Give me strength. You see, he understands. God doesn't simply save us by grace, save us, and then say, okay, now you're on your own. We'll see you at the end of your pilgrimage. Not at all. We need grace and mercy the whole way. And that's why the psalmist, a child of God, asks for grace and mercy. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. He entreated God's favor, that is, God's grace. He asked for grace because he knew he couldn't go on without that grace. He entreated with his whole heart because he knew the seriousness. If God didn't give him grace, then he would be lost. And then he says, be merciful unto me. Not because I deserve it. He doesn't say, be merciful to me because I have tried really hard and I am a wonderful servant. Not at all. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. That is, according to thy promise. As thou hast promised in thy word, be merciful. Take me out of that misery and give to me the greatest good. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, all of those things flow out of the truth that Jehovah is our portion. He works in us. Jehovah was the one who made himself. He's the one who allots. That's implied by the word portion. He is the one who apportioned himself to us. And he works in us so that we see this is true. Jehovah is my portion. Yes, I am distracted by the things of the world. But does he not show us more and more, beloved, that this world is not our home? The things of this world do not satisfy. More and more he shows us he is our portion. And one day he will show that truth to us in perfection. We will see him completely, face to face, in the face of Jesus Christ. We will know him as we are known by him. He alone can satisfy. May it be our confession in our pilgrimage as we head towards our heavenly home. Jehovah is our portion. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give thee thanks that thou hast made thyself to be our portion. May we see that thou alone art able to satisfy. All of the things of this world will disappoint. So go with us, we pray, on our pilgrimage. Give to us that we might keep thy words in our hearts, meditating upon thy promises and seeking to show forth our love to thee. Where we have failed, forgive us, we pray, and continue to lead us along the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.